Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to be back with you again on this Monday, the 27th of October, or already now on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, the 28th, and early Tuesday morning. Don't let that confuse you. We've got lots to be confused about these days, and we're going to try to sort it all out for you. Those of you who have been following what's been going on in the mainstream, we'll say, you know that we're hearing half of what's really happening, and there's a lot of spin on that. And so we can't make a whole lot of sense of that. I think we can make more sense from what is not being told to us. And it's amazing now that they're talking about Sarah Palin's jewelry and her makeup, and it just gets more ridiculous as the days go along. A quick note on the Phil Berg suit to bring out Barack Obama's birth certificate. I think the whole problem would go away if he would just bring out his birth certificate. Methinks, however, though, the problem is that he doesn't have one to bring out, at least not an American certificate of live birth showing that he was born in one of two hospitals in Honolulu, either the one he claims or the one his sister Maya claims he was born in. Again, we have more strangeness going on there. The judge in that case, R. Barkley Surik, who is the judge of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, dismissed the lawsuit, telling attorney Phil Berg that he didn't have jurisdiction or he had no place challenging the Constitution. In fact, the people, according to the judge, and I'm sort of paraphrasing this, the people have no right to challenge the Constitution. I guess no one has the right to do that. When did this judge create the law? When did he write up a new Constitution, and why didn't we get a copy of it? We should be at least angry about that, and we should take some action. Now, whether anything will transpire from this or not, we will see in the coming days. But I happen to personally know some folks that are not pleased at all with this, and they intend to do something about the outcome of this case. Mr. Berg has alerted the media to the fact that he will pursue this now by taking this before the United States Supreme Court. So we wish him the best, and if in any way we can help him here at Evident Footprints, we will do so. Now, we're going to help you tonight, and I'm bringing back onto the show by special request, and I'm one of those people requesting tonight's guest come back. He is a metaphysical scientist, really, a shamanic healer, an herbologist, and a psychological kinesiologist. That's a mouthful. Also, let's not forget that he is a very, very accomplished musician. And I mean, for those of you who know anything about the professional music industry, he's a triple scaler, which means you hire him for a gig, he gets top dollar. And he can correct me on that if he has to, but he's working with some very, very excellent musicians in the Los Angeles area. He operates his own, let's say, consciousness facility, and we'll let him describe that. We'll be talking about that in the Los Angeles area. And we may even be able to listen to some of his music tonight in discussing some of what he does. He's also a very accomplished record producer, and he has moved into the area of helping people get well and face these changing times that regardless of who's running for office, the times are a-changing. With that, I would like to welcome back to Evident Footprints this evening, or this morning, depending on where you are in the country, Dr. B. Doc, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. Great.
I'm very rested after the weekend.
That's
And so I'm happy to hear that you're doing well yourself. What have you been up to lately, Doc, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, we've been, expanding the work of, doing research into natural health and understanding things that are visible and the invisible, and also working on this connection between the mind, the body, and the soul, and trying to understand its connections and disconnections even better. And there's a lot of things going on right now, which if you're not careful, the super conscious, which they say is the all or God,
mm-hmm.
your subconscious and your conscious mind become separated. You become separated from source because of the programming and sometimes because of the dissonant frequencies and the resistance factors. Those things sometimes cause us to be away from our original path.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you're walking through the forest, and there's a clear-cut path for you. This is a path that's been laid for you. A lot of people would choose because of resistance, negative energy, thoughts. They begin to move off the path into the woods. Now, when you get into the woods, there's no path. So unless you're ready to cut your own path, unless you have a good knowledge of, your directions, then you get lost. And the more you try to find your way back to the original path, the more you get lost. But if you were just to close your eyes and just breathe and just relax and take in the forest and not go into what we call reaction mode,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you'd find yourself beginning to move in the direction where the original path is. It happens almost automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to first breathe and react and relax and get your body out of the reaction mode. Because when fear and protection mode sets in, blood flow is shifted to the muscles. Blood flow in the muscles means that there may not be as much of it in places like the brain where you need certain levels of cognition, which is going to connect you to the mind, which is going to connect you to the one self. Once you're in protection mode, then you get further and further off the path. But when you get in what we call your proactive circle, when you get in growth mode or love mode, what instantaneously begins to happen is nature itself begins to lead you, and you're able to follow the path of least resistance. This is done on a subconscious level, and because we're connected to source, we always know how to get home, Dorothy, because we all have on those ruby slippers.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been, doing a lot of research on studying how to teach people at a very fast rate how to stay on the path, or how when they get off the path to get quickly back on the path. Whether this is healing, whether it's got to do with finances, whether it's got to do with, anything that you're trying to obtain in your life, you've got to have either a map, or you've got to be very creative or intuitive so that you can create what you want and not what you don't want. And what we have today is a lot of people creating what they don't want based on information given to them by people who don't have experience. So in other words, we'll ask a friend about our plumbing, right? He comes over to help, and now you got water everywhere. He's not a professional. Do you know what I'm saying? It's best to go to somebody who has experience in this thing. Now, most of the choices and decisions that we make are not based on experience. They're based on what we heard, hearsay, or what we read in the book, or what we read on the internet, or what we heard on the news, or what we thought they said in the debate. You see? It may not be, in fact, what they're saying is what you perceived.
So, yes, often, don't you think often it's what we are, just as simple as what we are told. In other words, people are so dependent upon somebody basically leading about with a leash, almost, that that they're willing to accept whatever they're told by whoever the authority figure is, let's say.
Make that clear now?
Okay. What I'm saying is that in general, to save themselves the stress of making their own conscious decision, often people will just react to how they've been programmed. I'm rephrasing the statement maybe a bit clearer. Based upon what they've been told, they tend to react instead of be. And you and I have talked about this in past shows. Everyone is waiting for their savior. They're waiting for their messiah. They're waiting for their leader to take them to the promised land, as if that's the only way they can get there, is if someone else takes them there. And I think that's part of that thing that you're talking about. There's sort of a laziness or an apathy. They want to be there, but they don't want to go. They don't want to pay the price to get there, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we've become complacent. We've become lazy, where we want the answer, but we don't want to go out and do the research. Or we want the prize, but we don't want to work towards the prize. We just want the prize. You know, it's interesting how just in the last 30 years things have changed. You know, where we don't have like a remote that'll control everything, we get upset. 30 years ago, you know, if you had a remote, this was an incredible thing, if you had a remote. You know what I mean? But now we're at this point where we want things given to us. So there are people out there who will take advantage of that, you see, because this is business. This is how sales are done. You know, I mean, you put up a sale sign in a store and people, you know, you say sale, 50% off. Well, 50% off of what? You see, you run in, you buy products, you think you got a great deal, you know, but you have no idea that, you know, this 50% off, they still were making 400-500% markup. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You may figure that you're getting a better deal because you saw the sign that says for sale or sale. Sale just means that things are in there being sold. They don't have
exactly
to change any prices. And
yeah,
50%
exactly
off, they don't tell you what that is of. There's no legal statement. It's just like when they say money back guaranteed. Well, nobody has to give you any money back because there was no legal statement saying exactly what we're talking about here. What do you mean, money back guarantee? No, it has to mention that this particular product and this particular bottle, and then you'd have to get down to all the specifics, you see. So we are living, in fact, in a matrix where we're being told. Somebody read the directions for us. Somebody talked to God for us. You know, somebody knows more about spirituality than you. Even though each one of us is picking up the information every day because we have the receptor sites, we have the antennas, we have the life force and the light force that is, permeating the entire omniverse is in us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody actually has the answer. So the only thing somebody could teach you or show you is something that you remember. So if I say to you, I say, hey, man, you remember when blah, 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 blah? Right? And you say, wow, I never knew that before, but that makes a lot of sense. The only reason it makes sense because it touches your senses, and your senses are some of the first things that were developed when you were, you know, being developed, and especially like smell, things like that. This is why you can smell some, you know, a little bit of lavender, and immediately the body relaxes because the body has receptors for lavender. Even if you've never smelled lavender before, your DNA has a program that's set for what happens when we smell lavender. That came down through your lineage, through your people, you see?
Mm-hmm.
You still have the memory of your people, everybody that came on before you. You know, when we get into the Akasha or the Akashic Records, that means that Everybody has the memory of everything. Everything is in us. Everything is everything. But what happens is, when we begin to follow the path of resistance, we get lazy. Well, what happens? Well, you find out that because you're going against nature, that things get real hard, and you get tired. And then somebody comes along and says, well, I can help you with that. Don't you worry. We've got it. You let them do it. You let the person invest your money. You won't go learn about the investment market yourself. You know, a person will, instead of, you know, going to study politics, they'll watch a bunch of shows on television, which are shows, which are, you know, they're selling commercials, and they'll tell you what's going on with the race and who's winning and who's not. But in fact, that's not who's winning and who's, you know, this is based on their perception, their story, their spin. Each one of us has to follow the original spin, which comes from source.
And yes, sometimes you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, there's something I wanted to mention. Actually, I have a couple of short points that I want to make, but in light of that, you know, they had a poll on CNN. I think I watch, if I watch 5 minutes of CNN throughout the day, I'd be surprised. But I'll flip on the TV to see what they're reporting, and then I'll just turn it off right away. I catch one or two lines of spin, and it's like, I don't need to listen to this. I don't even know why I turned it on, other than to just find out what's going on, you know, to be that consummate talk show host and right. Up on all the details. Well, they were running this poll, and in the poll, they put the word poll with a colon after it, and then they made a statement. They said, one-third of all Americans are worried about losing their jobs. Now, what went through my mind was, how did they come up with this statement? They didn't poll me. They didn't poll anyone I talked to. We had some people call into the show that night, and I even asked them if they got polled. No one had been polled. Yet they talked to one-third or more. How can you come to the conclusion that one-third of all Americans are worried about losing their jobs unless you poll everybody who has a job and the whole country? So the way the question or the statement is made in that poll and the result of the poll is a total fabrication. It's impossible for them to have reached that conclusion. Now, I ask you, Doc, did anybody poll you asking you if you were worried about losing your job?
Well, see, they can tell you that story because they're the authority figure, but nobody's polled me. They're the authority
yes.
figure. You see, they're the authority figure, and all they need now is dissonant information. See, people, as soon as they see somebody, this is what they did with Tell Live Vision. You had authority figures. Because this thing was being beamed in your house, and just this back in 50s and 60s was incredible. This was like magic. I mean, Walter Cronkite is in our house. He wouldn't lie because he's on television. This is real. You see? Even though Walter Cronkite a lot of times may have been in a studio telling you he was in Vietnam. I mean, how would you know?
Oh yeah,
you know,
and you'd have
know.
To take him. You'd have to take him seriously if he was on after the Three Stooges or Andy
exactly.
Mayberry or something like that.
Yeah, I mean he's got on a trench coat, which means he's an investigator. You see, what does that mean? He's an investigator. He's important. A trench coat.
This is Walter Cronkite.
we're programmed in that deep voice, and that's the way it is. You see, what happens is we. If we stay too much in the mainstream and worry about what the mainstream is doing and try to keep up with the mainstream, then we lose sight of self.
Yes.
We get off the path. And
yes.
In order to be away from yourself, you have to have a lot of friction, heat, buildup, inflammation. There's, you know, people aren't happy a lot of times because they're not doing what they want to do. You spend a lot of energy doing what you don't want to do. Or having a personality that's just something you create. Like, you know, look at it like this. People have a personality for their husband or wife. They have a different personality at the job. They have a different personality if it's just men around. Another personality if it's men and women or just women. You know, if the conversation's about politics, we create a personality for that. For every subject, we create a personality. Very seldom do you see people who are the same in all these places. You see, because a person that is the same in all these different environments or dimensions, then that person has true knowledge of self. This person is living life based on their experiences, and they're able to use their experiences to be totally present in the moment, on the path. Mm-hmm. When you're on the path, this is the path of least resistance. It's easy. Some people make it look so easy they play the piano. I mean, it's incredible. This guy just, oh, my God. But then you go over and, you know, let's say you're not a piano player, it's hard. But this person is confident and connected to source about this particular one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if 50% of your life and your decisions and choices you made were based on the information coming from source.
Yes.
Well, how do you do this? Well, first thing you have to know is that people who control you always want to control your time and your diet. Think about it. If you want to win a war, you're going to have to find out the water and food supply. If you can take over the water and food supply and change the diet, either by making it toxic or making it just slightly toxic or making it where it causes nutritional deficiencies. If your brain is being used as a junction box for information coming from the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious, and it's also an interface between the physical body and the electrical body, if the brain tissue itself is built on material that is not strong enough to withhold the light or the information or the full light of the heavens, of the universe. We've got toxins in the system. See, the system is, we're photovoltaic beings. We pull energy in from the sun and the cosmos and use it as energy. Now, once you eat a certain diet that's laden with, you know, pesticides, that's got preservatives in it, you know, and animal products where the animals were fed garbage or they were fed toxic things, and the chemicals like benzene is in your soap, and your clothes have residuals of chemicals that could kill all the fish in a stream or a river. Think about this. This is what's in people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't hear the truth. They can't get the light. They don't hear the message like you may hear it. They don't hear the call. They're waiting for somebody to come and save them. They're looking for a pill to save them. Looking for a doctor to save them. Even though the doctor has never cured anything. Because
yep.
He's got on that white outfit and he's got those, you know, a couple degrees on the wall, you figure he's going to save you. Well, what he's going to do is he's going to anesthetize you. He numbs you up so you don't feel the pain. Originally, you had a problem that was coming through a certain window. Let's say it was the liver. Well, what he gives you just kind of makes that window seem like, you know, it's not open. You don't feel the pain. So you just go on about your life. Like a person that's, you know, they've got a tennis elbow, you know, which is like almost a type of arthritis.
Or inflammation, we could say.
Inflammation.
Right?
Yeah. Which is inflammation. And the bones are basically rubbing together. You go to the doctor and he gives you some medicine, and all of a sudden you don't feel the tennis elbow. So you go out and start playing again. When in fact what you're doing now is it's insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
You're making it worse because you don't feel the pain, because people don't want to feel pain. But pain is part of what makes you alive. Pain is what you're going to need to feel to get out of the comfort zone. Pain is what you're going to feel when you give birth to your new self. Pain is what you're going to feel when you decide you want to play a new instrument. Pain is what you're going to feel when you decide you want to read a new book or study a new subject. You're going to have pain. Pain has got to do with energy transfer. Pain has got to do with alchemy or transmutation. the changing of one thing to another. You're going to go through a certain growing pain. Exercise. It's going to be painful sometimes when you, you know, decide to push yourself a little further. But after you go through the pain, it's not going to be pain forever. Then you can get the goodness out of life. So, when we're staying on the path, this is not to say that we're not going to feel pain. It's to say that you're moving with the natural flow of nature. And you're not fighting, trying to go upstream. Because when you're trying to go upstream, you know, and the river's going south and you're trying to go north. This is, you may be able to do it. You know, you may have a great strong motor or, you know what I mean? I don't know. So the point that I'm making is that we have to start staying on path. And how do we do it? We eat a diet that's rich in the natural things. I don't even know what the word organic means anymore. It's crazy. Natural. Wild. If you eat those foods, even if you don't eat them all the time, but you just eat them sometimes, because some people are not going to be able to eat a totally organic diet, you know, of wild foods all the time. But let's just say you, every week, one day, you just become a vegetarian for one day and eat nothing but, you know, go to the farmer's market, buy nothing but vegetables and fruit. Do that every day. Not every day. Do it one day out of the week. That means it's going to be four times a month. You see? Then you look at the year. You see how many days it is. After a while, this is time you're adding on to your life. And it's also giving your time, your body a grace period so it can heal. It's also setting up a rhythmic chain of events that says, hey, every Wednesday we're going to get more light, more information from the universe. The one that may say, you know, you need to hear that message that says, go out in your garage, turn on your computer, and sell all the stuff in your garage on eBay. Once you sell it, buy other things and sell them on eBay or whatever. You start getting a more of a sense of you are in control of your life. You become creative with your life. You may decide at this point by getting light just one day out of the week into your system that you don't need this job working for this person, this job you hate. You all of a sudden begin to think on another level because you've changed things. You've gotten out of your comfort zone. So you begin to become creative because the light coming from the center of the galaxy is the creative light. Once you have the creative light lit, once that torch is lit, all you've got to do now is follow the laws. The law says that, number one, move away from the mainstream. Number one, you got to get out of the mainstream because the mainstream has been controlled. They have been colonized. They have been programmed. And most of them are like, you know, a broken machine.
And this is now, just the way it is. You entered an area where I would like to interject something, if I could, just briefly here. And not stray away from the topic at the same time. You mentioned self a little while ago, actually at the top of the show. And recently, on some of my shows, we've been discussing the concept of the individual. Now, when you look at that word individual, you're talking about one person normally, a single person. One of the side definitions of individual is separate, and yet that's a contradiction of the meaning of the word individual, which means unable to be divided. And so the self is, when you're talking about the self or you're talking about the individual, you're talking about the wholeness or the holiness of that person. Are you not? You want to comment on that and maybe integrate that into, you know, I may be off base, but you know how I have this penchant for studying the misuse of words as much as the proper use of words.
Yes. See, when you're talking about the self, or the individual. See, an individual is basically, from my understanding, undividable.
Okay, we agree.
If you're undividable, you're an individual, then you're connected to the one mind. You're connected to everything. You're into holisticness, the self. The self doesn't mean just you.
Mm-hmm.
The self has to do with you your place in the all? What is your place? Let's say on Star Trek. Each person on Star Trek had a certain place. And if you watch the original Star Trek, you would see each person who had a certain office or a certain duty never spoke about anything but that job, that office, that duty. Whatever their opinion was, whatever opinion they had, it came from their profession. There was never any slack talk. There was never any just laughing and joking and, you know, shucking and jiving and, you know what I mean? It was always Spock as the science officer. Spock, you didn't ever see Spock. I mean, once in a while you saw him playing his little guitar thing or whatever it was called. He played the little chess. But otherwise, he was always involved in research.
Yes, he was analyzing everything, yeah.
Communications officer was only, the only time she even spoke had to do with communication.
Yeah.
These people had a self. They had a job that was part of the all. You see, the Enterprise was the individual. It was a whole that could be broken down, but if you took any one of those pieces out, it might not work the same. Unless somebody else knew how to, like sometimes they would have like a crisis and somebody would have to take over the helm. But that person was trained in the same profession as the captain or whoever who was in that position.
Yeah, what well, Captain... Captain Kirk always got pulled outside the box, though, and they always had to reel him back in.
Exactly.
But then he always saved himself in the end, you know? Usually it was a woman.
Exactly, you know? It was always that. It was crazy. But you see, they were on a mission, a five-year mission. What were they doing? They were on a mission to seek out new life. Well, see, what is your mission? Your mission is to seek out new life or new light. See, if you have a closed system and you're always pulling energy out of a closed system, then the system begins to implode on itself. Entropy. It's just like a gas tank. If you just kept sucking out gas and there was no hole to let air in, it would just fold in on itself.
Or collapse. Yeah.
Or collapse. So to have a healthy, working, homogeneous, or harmonious system, you need to always be getting new energy into the system. Here's the issue. A lot of the foods that we eat, they are not giving us new energy. It takes more energy to digest them than they can give to the system. But you're always doing work every day. Even if you sleep, you're burning calories. You're doing work. You're breathing. If you don't put new, fresh energy into the system, it begins to implode or collapse. This is heart disease. This is lung disease. This is cancer. The system becomes stressed. No way in the world when you're stressed you can stay on the path. You have no sense of self. It's about everybody else. It's about what they're doing, about what they're wearing, about what they're eating. I can't go to the barbecue because, you know, I can't go there being a vegetarian because they're all meat eaters. Why can't you? Well, if I take my veggie burgers, they're going to talk about me. Well, who cares? I mean, what's the big deal? You see?
Yeah.
So what we have to do is decide, hey, I'm doing this for me. I'm cleaning up my life. I'm getting rid of negativity. I'm going to throw a bunch of things out of my house. The minute you start throwing things away, you get more light in the room, more life. The minute you get rid of some of those friends that are a drag on your life, you get more light. You get more energy, more information. The minute you cut things out of your diet, the minute you start cleansing, taking herbal cleanses and get rid of the parasites, all of a sudden, life gets very smooth. You start following the path of least resistance because your body is always trying to follow the path of least resistance and heal you. But our minds, you know, our brains controlled by the system, by the machine, by the matrix, you know, it slows us down. But you can always get back on path. you can always get right back on. Like right now with this whole election thing. I mean, people are really confused. People don't know what the heck is really going on. And it's a good time to be confused because once the dust settles, we're definitely going to be living in a new world, not based on the politics, but based on where we sit in the universe right now. It has, mm-hmm. It's based on the light coming in from the photon band. It has a lot to do with the Venus transit. I mean, next Venus transit happens in 2012. It has to do with the quickening. It has to do with the atoms and the molecules are moving faster and faster. And the consciousness of people all over the world is raising faster and faster. We're opening up. We can see the light now. You see, we're beginning to awaken, but some of us are so sick. We've eaten so many toxic things. We've eaten so many farm-fed animals where, these feedlots and, where they just throw tons and tons of toxic garbage in these animals eat it.
Oh, yes, and it, of course, contributes to disease. When you look at mad cow disease, the explanation that the public's been given about how this came about is that they're feeding ground-up sheep to the cows.
Hmm.
I mean, where did somebody get that idea? Well, we got the sheep here. The cows are hungry. Let's try this.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a conversation with a friend today, and he was telling me about a job that his father had back after World War II. He began working as a chemist for the food companies. And these are like grocery store chains that are marketing their own brands of food and stuff. And I got to thinking, a chemist for the food manufacturers, and it just hit me, and I know they put additives in foods, but you never visualize it as a chemist. You know what I'm saying? You think that there's some process and they say, okay, we have to add this to preserve the food, but you don't visualize there's a guy whose job is to put things in food and change the makeup of that food. And he used an example of, well, you've got vegetable oils and you've got peanut butter. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the Amish or the people that, the grandma's recipe for making peanut butter was probably very simple and probably healthy as long as the peanuts didn't have mold on them and she wasn't putting some other toxin in it. And so you look at the things that they do to preserve food or to enhance the flavor of the food or to make the food more desirable. In other words, to trigger those responses in the brain or in the body to crave more of the food. And you get to thinking, if it's doing that to the food, what's it doing inside your body? What impact is it immediately having on your body? And then what impact is it having over a short period of time? And bottom line, what happens in the long run? You want to expound on that a little bit? Because it's one thing to say eat healthy foods, eat natural foods. It may be worth pointing out why you would want to steer away from these processed foods.
And, interesting thing is you talk about the processed foods and they're preservatives. See, the preservative they use in the food causes it to be able to sit on a shelf longer. It slows down the rot rate, R-O-T, the rot rate. And what happens is you eat this preservative and it slows down the rot rate or the breakdown rate or the cleansing rate of your internal cells. Because your cells have a life. And mm-hmm. a part of your defense system is to clean up the cells that are dead and usher them out of the body or recycle them. If the cells have been preserved, they look to your body like they're still viable. So you've got toxic material in your body that's from your body, that is your body, being protected from rot by the preservative. This is the beginning of cancer because you're preserving cells that should have been taken out to the garbage or taken to the cell graveyard. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
One of the organs that does this is the spleen. The spleen recycles and renews blood in blood cells and white blood cells, especially. You see, but if the body has material in it that changes the direction, in other words, all of a sudden Spock. Now, well, Spock is one of the guys on the ship that could do almost everything, though. I can't use Spock. But let's say a person that only knows how to drive the ship. All of a sudden, he's trying to be in charge of the communications devices. He doesn't know how to work them well. You see, the same thing with the body. When you put these signals in the body, they cause parts of your body not to work correctly. The liver has a certain vibratory rate. The kidneys have a unique vibratory rate. Every organ of the body has a certain frequency that it operates at. When you eat foods that are denatured, then your body doesn't know how to work correctly, because when you're denatured, you moved away from nature. Mm-hmm. You moved away from the path of enlightenment. Enlightenment is not just something in your mind. It's your body. It's your soul. Everything has to be holistically harmonized, or you're constantly tuning your instrument. You see, you're atoning, saying that, you know, okay, I'm going to let the old stuff go. I apologize for things that I have done. But now today, let's start over again. Let's clean up. Let's fast. Let's mm-hmm. do a colon cleanse. And those parasites, you got to get rid of them, because these things are so much more, you know, they've been here for 2.5 billion years. So they're much more intelligent than we are. They're survivalist.
Yes.
If you don't get rid of your parasites, you can't stay on the path. Because the parasites eat your organs. They eat most of your food, and the good nutrition from your food, they get to it first. Your vitamins, your minerals, they eat them. They live a parallel life with us. So every time the seasons change, right, they call them seasons. See sun. See the sun. The sun is what's setting up the seasons. The sun's energy changes based on its position, or on the earth's position in relative to the sun. So when the sun's energy changes, then certain animals go into hibernation, certain ones wake up. Certain insects die, certain ones come to life. Same thing with parasites. Different groups of parasites are awakened, or they go into a cyst or a quiescent state based on the season. Like we just went in the fall. Well, they call it a slew season, because this is the time of year where all the garbage that you've eaten all year long, that your body hasn't been able to release correctly, it builds up to such a point that the defense system, or what they call the immune system, it drops. It doesn't have the power to fight the battle. It's tired. You see? Remember I said mm-hmm. earlier, it takes, you know, a lot of these foods take, you know, 80 or 90% of your body's energy to digest them. And they don't give you any energy. You see, they just suck energy out of your body. That's a lot of these man-made foods. These what they call Frankenfoods. Frankenfoods, and, you know, these things that are, you know, genetically modified. You see, that kind of stuff causes your body to be out of alignment with its natural order. This blood flow that is toxic now goes to your brain. You can't think clearly. You know, you can't be your true self. You can't have courage. You see, this is what the Wizard of Oz is all about. You know, this was Dorothy divided up into three people. This was her own subconscious. Part of her thought that she didn't have a brain. Another part of her thought that she didn't have a heart. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And it reminds me of the fact that the story behind Barack Obama is that his family's from Kansas. And, I mean, they're reliving, you know, they're making us relive the Wizard of Oz with this story. You know.
Hey, follow the yellow brick road. What's the money?
Yes.
To Oz, which is the old name of Babylon.
Exactly. Doc, when you mentioned, right before you mentioned tone and atonement, as you were describing this process of the organs and their frequencies, their proper frequencies, I immediately associated that with a parallel in music, sort of as a metaphor. And I visualized the organs working in harmony and these toxins being the dissonance. And they're not even harmonic in that sense, not in the pure sense of a natural harmonic in music, which is pleasing to the ear and pleasing to the body and even to the mind and the soul. And so there is a dissonant frequency. And it'd be interesting to study what the two different frequencies are in and of themselves. If there's a way that you can measure the frequency of the wholesome food versus the toxin and make a comparison.
A lot of times it's just a matter of pH. You can measure the pH, the potential hydrogen of that thing. If it's acidic, it may not be bad for some things, but it's bad for you because your body is mostly, should be 7.0, which is basically alkaline.
Alkaline, yeah.
You see? And you can measure the frequency of things based on the acidity of them, you see. There are devices that can measure the frequencies coming from certain plants and animals and foods. Some people can do this with what you call a simple pendulum. Or you can use a kinesiology test, muscle testing, to see the frequency of this particular thing. But what's interesting, if you were playing the piano, push down, you play a chord, and you push down the sustain pedal of that chord. Let's say this is a G, right? The sustain, there's the G.
It's actually now, G at a ninth.
See,
just to give
G
it.
At a ninth. Now,
okay.
Hold down the sustain pedal.
Wait, I got to get up to do that. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna use. Now, continuing to hold when you hear the notes before the notes die out, play say a D flat at the right after it. So you play your original note, your G.
Okay.
Hold the sustain down and play that next chord. You hear what happens? There's
I kind of like that, but
that's you.
But I understand what you're saying. You know, you're
what happens
you're,
is if the first notes are still sustaining, if the energy of the first notes haven't died off. If you're holding down the sustain pedal, which is what preservatives do, they hold down the sustain pedal or the vibration of something that's supposed to pass away. You see, so when we eat foods that are like musical chords and they don't mix, there's a clash. Like eating acid food and alkaline food at the same time, there's zero digestion. Nothing happens. You see, it's like pushing and pulling at the same time. A lot of people like to eat fruit and vegetables at the same time. What happens is the fruit is supposed to go directly to the small intestines within 15, 20 minutes to be digested. And the only thing you need for fruit to break down is water. But for vegetables, you may need some alkaline or even some acid to break them down. Now, you take your acid and alkaline and put them in the stomach at the same time, you get zero digestion. So if the vegetables need the acid or even alkaline juices, and you have fruit in your body, at the same time, you get alcohol. A lot of people get cirrhosis of the liver from eating fruit and vegetables at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just separate them. You eat the fruit, hold that chord down, play those notes, then you wait 15, 20 minutes, and then you play your next chord, which may be your vegetables. Those chords, because they're not being played at the same time, gives your body to be ready for the next notes, the next music, the next taste, the next smell. You see, our society is just me, 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 take, 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 eat, 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 sex, 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 money, 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 money. We don't even have time to adjust to the next vibration because there's so many vibrations coming at us at one time. And a lot of these dissonant vibrations come in the form of food. Then they come to show us what's going on with our body by putting us in an emergency mode called sickness or illness. Most illnesses are teachers. You see, like diabetes teaches us something. You could, and let's say you had no herbs, no medicine, and you had diabetes. Here's the easiest thing to do. If it's sweet, spit it out. Eat nothing but 100% organic, raw vegetables and fruits for 1 month. Make sure that the fruits are not your sweet fruits. If you're going to eat them, they need to be more of your tart ones with less sugar. Or some people can do this with doing no, they may even be better off with no fruit at all.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know which fruits to use. So let's just say vegetables. For a month, for 28 days, your liver, your spleen, your kidneys, your pancreas begin to adjust themselves and clean themselves out. There's a lot of people who have done this who do not have diabetes anymore. Now, they will begin to show the symptoms of diabetes again if they go back to eating the old diet. The only thing they've done by putting these vegetables in the body raw is it put them back on the path of least resistance, because the body needs very little energy to break those foods down. You see?
Mm-hmm.
The less energy your body needs to break something down, it means the more energy you can use. It's about the available energy. As I talked about entropy, what happens is you're sucking all the energy out of the system. You're working hard. You're stressing. You got family to take care of. Then you eat a bunch of food that actually is giving you nothing. It feels like it's something in your stomach, but that's part of the matrix. It's a program.
Yeah.
You're still starving. Even though you feel full, your body can't use this stuff. It's toxic. It's just, it's like a facade.
Well, what comes to mind while I'm listening to you, Doc, is the whole process of preparing the food, selecting the food, buying it, the process of thinking about what we're getting. I see people in the grocery store, and I don't even go to grocery stores that much. I more or less go to like the farmer's market. But when I do have to pick up certain things that you can only find in a quote unquote grocery store, I notice there's people that are just walking down the aisles and they grab this and they throw it in the cart and their head turns to the other side and whatever catches their eye, they reach up and they grab that. And before they've gone down two or three aisles, their cart's filled to the top and it's mostly junk. And then there's this process of, okay, when you get home, how are you going to prepare this? Well, half of what they got in that cart is microwave stuff. The rest of it is mixed with water, and so they pour some tap water into it, into a pan, or you get the idea. And then the process of preparing it completely, and then the actual ritual of sitting down and eating it. People are multitasking; they're watching TV, eating on the couch. They're not reverent about eating, and I'm not saying, that everyone has to sit down and say grace. Some people have a real issue about that. But I'm just speaking about being grateful that you are eating, that you are able to sit down and eat something. And then treating eating, do you take your food into the shower when you're taking a shower? No. Hopefully you're just in there to shower. Or if you're at the sink, and you're a woman and you're putting on your makeup, are you eating your breakfast while you're doing that? There's got to be something that is affecting the digestive process and the whole, the whole sense of being when we mix these things together. Or to be sitting down arguing with someone in the family while you're eating. If it's a discordant frequency, it's got to be affecting the whole process. Don't you agree? Or
exactly. Why would we eat with somebody we don't like? Because, see, the subconscious doesn't know that you're eating with somebody that you don't like. It's just a business meeting. The subconscious says to open up for nutrition. That means energetically, not just, you know, start beginning to exercise the salivary glands and, you know, the digestive enzymes in the stomach and the intestine. What happens is the body says open up for information to receive. You're receiving the energy of this person at a time when you're not in a mode to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Because you opened up to eat food. The minute you eat food, you have opened yourself. I don't know if I'm explaining that where you can understand.
Yeah,
where
you are
letting the subconscious says to let things in.
Yeah, you're explaining it. I've got to interrupt for a second. We've got to take a short pause here at the end of this first hour. Folks, we'll be right back with Evident Footprints and our special guest, Dr. B. Don't go away. Much, much more to come.
Food. Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle. And is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints, and we're visiting with our special guest and a resident shaman, herbalist, and musician, psychological kinesiologist, Dr. B. Doc, welcome back to the show. Before I so rudely interrupted you, you were really getting into the heart of this matter here, and I feel, I have this sense that we're breaking through some very dense energy out there in the listening audience. And we're not getting any calls, but that doesn't mean people aren't listening. you know, we know on this show a lot of times they feel very encouraged and riveted by a lot of the information. And so people don't always interrupt that flow. That's what I'm hearing back from folks. So if you're wondering why we're not getting calls, it doesn't mean they're not interested. Quite the contrary.
Well, I look at it like this. Everybody gets the call, right?
Yeah.
In life, we all get a call, or we all have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
But we, a lot of times, don't know what the alarm sounds like that says someone's calling. Like my son, once he said he had a ringtone that only children could hear. Right? I don't know if you've heard about this.
No, I haven't.
It's a ringtone that they say only the children can pick up this sound. It's a sound, but the frequency is at such a place in the spectrum where obviously if you're over 30, you don't hear it until he turned it on. As soon as he turned it on, I heard it. My wife heard it. And he was, you know, it kind of blew his mind that we could hear this. Well, this is because we're tuned in. They made this particular idea based on the mainstream. The mainstream can't hear certain tones. They can't hear certain frequencies. They can't read through neuro-linguistic programming how a person is conveying their message because of the interference factors. There's so many interference factors in a person's life that they can't focus. They can't keep a keen eye on what's happening because they're confused. So when their phone call comes, when their calling comes, they can't pick up the phone because they don't even know the phone is ringing. This could be the thing that's going to change their life. It's like sometimes a person doesn't know when, you know, like they used to tell us in sales. Once a person says that they're going to buy the product, you stop talking. Start packaging the deal. But there's some salespeople who even after the person says, okay, I'll buy, they want to add in some more commentary, tell them more about the product. Oh, you're really going to love this. And then the person begins to think. Once the person starts thinking again, you could lose the sale. Once you close the deal, you close the deal. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be conscious of where we are. They're throwing everything at us right now. They're throwing the kitchen sink. They're throwing the tub because the devil or the disagreeable forces would like to get another 1,000 years on the planet. They'd like to have another 1,000 years of darkness. Or when I say darkness, I don't mean the color darkness. I'm just talking about disagreeable energy. You see, because the energy, once an object is in motion, it tends to stay in motion until acted upon by an opposite or equal force, something like that. Well, what happens is even though you throw the ball, right, it begins to descend at a certain point towards the ground and you lose altitude, but it gains a new attitude, you see. Once it has, it's changed its attitude, it's still moving for a while, but not with as much force as it had originally. So the evil forces are still, even though their time is up, because they say right around 1987 was the end of a whole era of disagreeable energy. And that was around the time when the supernova 1987A, when the energy from supernova 1987A began to hit the Earth, which is a green light. Now think about green. Green has a lot to do with the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
The green light from supernova 1987A began to hit the Earth, and they said they realized that the full light of supernova 1987A would not be realized on the Earth until 2007. And when this particular, 2007, when the green light was first noticed coming from supernova 1987A, they said it was the first time they were able to really decode the gene sequence using a green laser. Now, I know there's some scientists out there, they may say, well, no, he's not technically right. Well, understand the idea, for those of you who know exactly the parameters for this understanding. The green light is also go. That means live, move down the path. The green light of the heart says to go. Go with what your heart says. What's on your heart? Where is your heart coming from? What is the beat? What is the rhythm of your life? So they knew that at a certain time we would awaken. And right around 1987, it says, when the crystal children began to be born. The crystal children come here crystal clear with purpose. You can't get them off the path. They've taken the some combination of all the people that have been here before us, and they're like the pinnacle of the pyramid, okay? And those particular children will be the leaders of the new school. Because with the quickening, when we hit 2012, all of a sudden we go into a new world, a new vibration, right? And things begin to slow down again, right? You're going to need teachers. Well, the teachers need to have been here before the great change so they can have experience to teach about what, you know, what to expect in the new world. A lot of us are experiencing these changes, but we can't do anything about it because we're frozen. We're toxic. We're sick. We're tired. Our heart rhythm is off. Our kidneys are not functioning correctly. We feel like we're supposed to be sick and retire right around 65. This is not true.
Mm-hmm.
They've got cells from human beings that have been in the bath, you know, been in a petri dish for over 100 years, still alive, with no DNA. The DNA doesn't control the cell. Epigenetics, mm-hmm. you know, has broken that down. It's about the energy coming to the cell. It's about the environment. So if our environment is disagreeable, if we have disagreeable people who are always talking in lack, you know, people who always think that they have less than, or they don't have enough, or they're not lucky, or they wish they could get such and such, or they want. Just using words like that takes
or
you
need.
Into a place
yeah.
of need and victimism. What is
yeah.
this trash building up in your body? There's neurons and neurotransmitters and things that are being created every second of every day. You see? And now they have a new belief. They have a new program that you're giving it. Because, see, the conscious mind is like, it puts inputs into the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But the subconscious records them. And it doesn't know that these inputs are not true facts. So
yeah.
if you watch a movie, the subconscious thinks that what's happening in that movie is actually happening in the environment. It can't differentiate between fact and, you know, falsehood.
Yeah.
See? So...
What you're describing here is re-emphasizing or underscoring what I call frequency control. In fact, right before you mentioned the green light means go, I had this vision of a stoplight, you know, the typical intersection. And on the top you have a red light, in the middle you have a yellow light, and on the bottom you have a green light. Now, it's interesting, those lights at one time used to be red. Those of us that are old enough to remember this, maybe you remember this. And then we had orange, and then we had green. Now, you reverse those three lights, whether it's the yellow and the, or amber, some would call it, or this orange light and the green light, reverse them, and you have three of the first four chakras. But you have the red on the top. You have the chakras inverted, in essence. And
yes.
So there's a type of frequency control in there, and I think subconsciously that was done intentionally. I mean, it was done intentionally to affect our subconscious, is what I'm saying. And any thoughts
and
about that?
Those things that you speak of now are with the flow. That's the path of least resistance. People are sensitive to certain colors and certain sounds based on the way our environment was created. So when you use colors of the chakras, when you use colors that are natural to us, like red basically is survival.
Yes.
You know, if you run through a red light, you may not survive. It says if you want to survive, you sit at this light.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes,
go,
yes.
Yeah, you could live, you know, be careful, but go, you know, go with caution. Yellow says slow down. Don't take on more than you can assimilate at this time. We're about to move into red. Be very, very careful.
Yes.
This is the way the body works.
Yes, I see fear residing in the yellow chakra or the third chakra in many people. I'm not saying that's natural. That's just the way I see it.
Exactly, because a lot of people have the third chakra is the one that's been attacked. Hoarding. People want to buy everything. They want it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's taking in more than you can assimilate. Eating, just because they say that, you get all you can eat for $7.99, folks eat, come on. People go crazy. they lose it. And there's some people who are so crazy, they'll eat, go vomit, and eat again. Why? Just like the person that's got a gambling habit. They go gamble, win $100,000. Within about a week, they lose it. Why do they lose it? They got to lose it because their thing is gambling. You see?
Mm-hmm.
They got to keep gambling. You see?
Yeah.
They have to keep eating. Why? They don't even know. It's a stimulus. Because the subconscious is stuck on believing or having a program that we are in lack, that we're not leaning towards the light of creation, that you're not going to survive because you need man. You need stores to be open. You need them to bring you food. You need everything given to you. Don't worry, Jesus is going to save me. Jesus, I'm praying for my Jesus. Now you got your own personal Jesus that you've created out of your own mind. You're eating the food that you think Jesus ate, like ham, right? Even though throughout the Bible it tells you don't eat ham, but you're going to have ham on Easter because why? Because ham is on sale. I don't know what the problem is with the ham on Easter. I can't figure it. Now they got, you buy two hams, you get one free. And they're sitting on the table on a day where this is supposed to be your quote-unquote savior, but in the book that he is from says don't eat any pork, ever. But we got it on the table. You see, something is wrong. It's all commercial. It's because we're desensitized. So when the call comes, you can't hear the call, even though everybody gets called by God.
Well, believe it or not, Doc, you just got called. We've got Daryl from Portland on the line. Would you like to take a question or comment from him?
Sure.
We'll come back to that. Daryl, welcome to Evan the Footprints. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. B?
Yeah, I like what he's saying. I really, it's amazing stuff what he's talking about. It hit a resonant for me. I've heard some interesting things about people who actually don't eat at all and seem to get energy. And I'm not sure how they're getting energy, but they're bringing in energy through light or through vibration, and they actually don't have to eat at all. Is that something that you've heard before?
Doc,
there's a couple types.
Yeah.
There's one type of person that's called a breatharian.
Yeah.
The breatharian changes the molecular structure of their cells so that they only need to take in the energy coming from the sun. Everything from the earth came from the sun. These people are cutting out the middleman and getting their energy directly from the sun and also from their environment. There's no such thing when you get down to the quantum level as flesh or meat or vegetables. There's no such thing. It's just energy. So everything is made up of these particles and strings that create the whole cosmos. There are people who know how to stay so focused and clear that all they need to do is breathe. It's one other thing they do too, a lot of them. I knew one breatharian. They breathe, they smell flowers a lot in essential oils. They carry essential oils with them. And if they see like a patch of flowers, they'll walk over and just start smelling them really strongly because they're taking in through the nose the energy of the plant. They don't have to eat the plant to get the energy. Now, these are very special people. Now, a lot of them they don't live stressful lives. They don't work construction. I don't think they're out jogging all day long. They're people who live a quiet, smooth, mellow life. But there are people that actually do that, yes.
There was a lady in India some years ago that actually described just taking water out of the humidity in the air. And she was a breatharian also. And I think she lived to be somewhere around 125 or 130 years.
Wow. Then there's people who do the sun gazing. They just get the energy directly from the sun. You know, 20 minutes, sun sets. And after it rises in the morning, they just gaze into the sun and pick up all the energy they need.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, you have another question or comment?
I was saying it's out in Portland out here. We're having a lot of sunny days, so it's a little bit more difficult to do that.
Well, you got to find a mountain. You know, you need to find a high place. You know, there's a way. See, this is the thing. There's a way to do everything. And that's the thing about life is, you know, working on the easiest way to do these things. So there's light everywhere, you know what I mean? Even in
that's
darkness,
true.
There's light. As long as you realize that there's light and darkness, you can pull in the light from the dark.
Hey, Dr. B, do you have a book out or something I could check out or a website?
Yeah, go to my website. It's elevationtime.com.
Elevationtime,
T-I-M-E, all one word, elevationtime.com.
All right, that sounds awesome.
I have a workbook there. There's a lot of information there, you know, about what the work we do at Elevation.
That sounds great. I'll check it out.
We'll send you information on our email list if you join.
Cool, thanks.
Are you a breatharian?
No, I'm not a breatharian. I'm learning a lot from what you're talking about because I'm not a vegetarian either, but the stuff you're talking about, I think I'm going to start heading a little bit that direction.
What'd you eat today?
What was that?
What'd you eat today?
Oh, I ate potato salad. Let's see what else I ate. See, that's the thing. I'm not that conscious of what I eat sometimes. And now, the stuff you're saying is getting me to become, I'm starting to think I'm going to become more conscious about what I'm eating.
Yes. It's best to know what you're eating. It's just best to know who your friends are, know what neighborhood you live in. You know, a letter comes in the mail with your name on it. It's best to know what's in that letter. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like you're talking about, everyone's running so fast and they're all high speed. Sometimes that's the way I live, and I need to forget sometimes. So yeah, I'm trying to slow down a little bit.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, stay on the path.
Okay, we lost somebody there. I don't know if Daryl's still there or.
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone. It's a little bit patchy when I'm talking.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, anything else you want to ask Daryl or any more comments?
No, another thing when he was talking about vibration and tone,
mm-hmm.
There was actually a book that I read several years back, and the lady who wrote it, she figured out how to tap into vibration on each organ of the body, like when you talk about the vibration of the liver or the vibration of the lungs, the vibration of the heart. And she was able to develop these CDs that would tune in with that part of the body to help it heal. And you would listen to the CD, and it was a real low, like a bass vibration. You couldn't hear the CD, but it was such a low frequency, but it would actually help you heal. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that.
Yes, I have. Actually, we both have. In fact, I may play some of Doc's music here in a moment. There's a particular song that has jumped right in front of my face three times during this interview. I'm actually composing a lot of music like that, Daryl, but I have to tell you, I'm using a wide spectrum of frequencies. We have enough low frequency coming from the harp system.
And
I'm focusing on things like the harmonics that we've been discussing and things that are more resonant with the body in a natural way. Something that will lift the vibration, take it to a higher place.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
I'm speaking very generally, but that's the general concept. And the key centers can actually be attuned to the frequencies of the different chakras in the body. So that's one method of inducing the music into the body as well as into one's consciousness. Now, a person can take it wherever they want to go with it. What is interesting is that a particular song I wrote that represents the color green has been described as such by listeners many, many times. So there's something very real about this, too. This is not imagination. If you I think this might be an appropriate time to play some of Doc's music. Doc, if you would let me do that, I might not go through the whole 9 minutes, but I would like to play "Breathe." I think that would be something people would really enjoy hearing.
Great. Okay with me?
Okay, Daryl. Thank you so much for your call. We're going to move along try to bring some more information here. Folks, you're listening now to Dr. B, and this is from his album. He created a while back. He is the Urban Shaman, and this is Keys to the Inner Sanctum One. Breathe.
We have to move it. Thank you.
Boy, if you're not breathing yet. I have to say, Doc, you know, I find myself not just breathing, but I get the chills, too. I love that low bass, and yet you have that wide spectrum of harmonics there and the percussion instruments and the high keyboards. And it's almost like listening to, I think I said this on a past show, it's like listening to Marvin Gaye, in a sense. And that's Charles Jackson III. And on the lead vocal there, and Margie Coleman on the background ad libs there.
Yes. Yes, that's my Charles Jackson, that's my partner, Akadama, who's a healer also. He does a lot of very interesting work with vibration and sound, and also he's a biochemist. But what we were thinking on that song, we were basically in the vibration of creating the beginning movement for change, which is breath.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not breathing, then you're not in contact with your true self, because, you know, you need breath, which is connects you to the universe. You have to have deep, strong breathing techniques, which are changed usually when we're born, because those of us who were spanked when we were born, you take a deep breath, and you breathe backwards for most of your life. It creates fear. It creates the victim. I mean, why do we have to get spanked when we're born? But this is also a psychological issue of, you know, it sets up a vibration of fear and pain. The first thing you feel is this spanking. So a lot of us breathe very shallow. And when you breathe shallow, you're not taking in life. And you're not causing the right resonance with your surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to change anything in your life, you begin by breathing. And by breathing, we also mean by taking in good, holistic things, you know, food that feed the body. So it has to do with breath.
Interesting you mentioned the birth process. You know, when you consider all the things... and the spanking, and which begins, you know, our indoctrination into this matrix, we are actually being born into maritime law or admiralty law. We are in a delivery room. We move through the birth canal, and we are given a birth certificate, the same thing that goes on at a port. It's very interesting when you consider all the various aspects of the birthing process. It's attributed to maritime law.
Well, see, the queen, she owns everything under the ocean or under the water. Now, on many of our mountains, you can tell where the water line used to be. And the queen still owns everything below that water line. So when the mother is pregnant, she's carrying a baby on water.
Yeah,
maritime,
she breaks her water, yeah.
That child is potentially owned by the Queen of England. When the mother is ready to give birth, the first thing that happens is she breaks her water. And then she's brought to the dock. Okay, this is a boat, because the analogy is, in maritime law, it's about boats and land.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman becomes a boat. She's the vessel carrying the child to the dock. Now, when a ship comes into the dock, it has to, before the people on the boat can get off the boat, you have to have a bill of lading given to the port authority. What's on the boat? Give me a catalog of everything on that boat, an accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Once that accounting is checked over by the port authority, at that point, the port or the port authority owns the vessel while it's in the dock. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about how that mother is coming to the dock tour.
Yes.
When she gives birth, and the dock tour brings a birth certificate. Now, the word birth actually, like you said, being born. Law, and that you're bringing a boat into its resting place, the birth at the dock is the resting place of the boat. You see, so this whole analogy has to do with taking our sovereignty away from the individual and giving that sovereignty to the Queen of England. The minute the mother signs the bill of lading, which we call the birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
she's just giving that child to the state. And it even says under her name that she's an informant for the state, or information informed about the child was transferred to the state by this woman and her signature or sign of her nature. Now, she's doing this, and as we look at the top, they'll have the child's name in all capital letters. Why is the child's name in all capital letters? Because that means that the child is owned. It's a corporation. You see, it's owned by somebody. Well, who owns it? Well, was it a birth certificate? Yes. Well, who owns all the birth certificates? The Queen of England. You see, that's the Bar Tree Association. You see? And what we're giving away when we, with these signatures, a sign of our natures, is our freedoms. The same thing with a driver's license. I mean, why do you need a driver's license unless you're doing business driving people or livery? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a driver's license. It's the fear of the system. You see? You see, if you play on it in their jurisdiction, you give them the power over you. This is the same thing with doctors. When you walk into the hospital, you're actually into a place that is ruled by the Knights of the Hospitallers. Who the heck are the Knights of the Hospitallers? These were people who went out and did covert work for the king or the person of power. They would kill people under the shroud of secrecy. They were the hospitallers. So now when we go to a hospital, it seems like people go there for life. But actually you're going there to die. Because a hospital, right, means a big place to die. A hospice is a small place to die. Because the hospitallers only have to do with death, not giving life. So when you go to the hospital, you're at the temples of doom. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. It's ridiculous in the hospital. We only want to go there if it's an emergency and there's no other way. You want to do as much work as you can before you get to the hospital. Because when you get to the hospital, you got a sign. There's this sign of your nature saying that I go along with all the stuff that you got happening here. You see, the things that they have happening there have to do with getting money from you and possibly keeping you in the system so that you could spend more money because you're going to be on drugs. You're going to buy something from the system. It's about your energy. The same thing with back to that birth certificate. It's about getting that Social Security number. Well, what's up with the Social Security number? Well, how is it socially secure if people on Social Security are not socially secure? I've been paying Social Security, but when I need it, I can't be socially secure because there's not enough security in the social list of the thing. Am I making any sense?
Well, yeah. In fact, that money's gone.
This is believing in, like a mystery God. This is believing in osmosis is just going to happen. The heavens are going to open up and the bearded man is going to come save me. This is insane. What we have to do is find out first, who are we? Why do we have these habits? Why do we walk a certain way, talk a certain way? Why do we wear a certain clothes? Why do we eat a certain food? Why do we hang out with a certain crowd? Most of the times, your person or your personality as an adult is a group of conclusions that you made as a child. As a child, you don't know what's going on in the world yet. And you're making conclusions. You're being programmed by your diet, by the way your people feed you, by going to a certain church. I mean, there's people that really believe that their God or their belief is the one. But they have no experience. This was passed down from their parents. They have no experience. They haven't even been to another church or a synagogue or haven't been anywhere else. They haven't been to a spiritual meeting. They haven't been to a yoga session. They haven't learned any meditation, Tai Chi. They haven't done the work. They just know that this is what we were told. You know, we were told to do this. Well, there are 5% of the people who are waking from deep sleep. 5% of the people are what they call the poor righteous teachers. The 5%.
Doc, if I can interrupt you briefly here, it sounds like you have a loose cord or something on your phone. I don't. We're getting a little bit of in and out clipping, kind of.
Let me turn a little bit. How's that?
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Okay.
5% of the people are the ones that are going to be awake. It's like the sheep. The sheep herder has the sheep out in the grass eating.
Mm-hmm.
And he drives up with his truck. And he gets out of his sheep, and I mean out of his truck, and he raises a staff. I actually saw this happen. He raises his staff, and 85% of the sheep jump on the truck just by him raising his staff. 15% are still running around, so they send out the dog, the sheep dog. In our society, he would be called the police. And he barks and barks and barks and barks and barks. He's never bitten one of these sheep. But he barks and barks and barks and barks. Those 10% of the sheep are scared of also. But 5% of the sheep don't hear the call of the staff of the sheep herder. They don't even respond to fear put out by the dog.
Yeah, you're breaking up again a little bit here, Doc. Just
can you hear me?
You know.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
So what happens is, you know, you've got a 5% factor of people who get away and they stay in touch with their true essence. This whole journey is about getting in touch with our true essence. Our ideas about sexuality, our ideas about everything has been controlled. From day one. And most of the stuff that we believe in is not factual. It's just a belief. It's not a I know. It's not like I know for sure. Because one of the questions I'll ask a person, they say, you know, my friend, you know, he hates me and I've got a problem with him. I says, well, do you know he hates you for sure? They say, well, yeah, he acts like it. I say, no, do you know for sure that he hates you? Has he told you that he hates you? Well, no, but I can just tell the way he acts. See, this is an assumption. You may go to that person and say, well, do you hate me? Well, no, I don't hate you at all. This is the face I make when I love people. This is how I act when I love people. Well, see, if you don't have the proper information, then you can't come to the truthful conclusion. Or I shouldn't say truthful. I should say factual.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come to factual conclusions. The truth can be changed based on who's telling the story. The truth is not something that's factual. Like, you know, there's your truth, there's my truth, there's his truth. You know, 20 people see an accident, they all have their own truth. But there's only one factual thing. The facts say that you have to have new energy coming into a system in order for that system to sustain itself. You have to bring in new life, new information. It's a challenge sometimes to change your entire life. But you have to keep changing in order to grow. So you have to be flexible. If you're not flexible, then guess what happens? You become stiff. You get arthritis. You get heart disease. You get psychological imbalances. You get problems with the reproductive organs. And think about the problems with the reproductive organs. How come those are the number one? Number one
yes.
type of cancers is going to be what? Reproductive cancers. Why?
Doc, some of what you're describing to me, I mean, this is what's jumping out at me, and I know we're conditioned to be this way. There's a lot of ego identification in what you're describing, and there's a lot of the preconditioned response that we expect because of how we are conditioned. In other words, people are told that if they don't dress a certain way or they don't look a certain way or they don't use a certain product or use a certain word in their speech patterns, that they're not hip, they're not cool, they're not the bomb, they're not happening. And so they're striving to be accepted by what is accepted by the masses. And anything that is different from that is against them. I mean, when you're describing this girl and her reaction to the guy that she thinks hates her, you're talking about a perception, and her perception is based on her toxicity, not just her physical toxicity, but her mental toxicity.
Thank you.
Right?
That's exactly what we're saying. The level of toxicity. I'm glad you broke it down that way. See, because there is a natural order, okay? There's a natural sound that sounds good to people's ears all over the planet. You see, there's certain songs that everyone just loves when they hear it. There's certain colors, certain smells that people just love. But when you have a group of people who are into power and greed, they begin to change the natural perceptions of things that are natural. They begin to tell you that the purple rose is actually green. And after so much time of telling you that, all of a sudden, you don't know the difference. They begin to take a natural substance and change it, like wheat. There was a wheat that was natural, but the wheat we eat today is not natural. It's just, you know, this is something that was created through crossbreeding, along with carrots, along with spinach, white potatoes, brown potatoes, chickens, pigs, cows. All of this stuff was created through crossbreeding, what they also call agriculture. Agra means to move, culture. You're moving a culture. You're spinning a culture. You're changing it. It's not natural. It's not wild, you know. But we got to feed so many people, and they need so much food. So what we're going to do is we're going to make plants that grow really, really quickly and are really resistant to bugs, and we're going to make animals that don't even run away. Well, if you have an animal that doesn't run away and you eat this particular meat, then you become a person that won't run away. From what? From the system. You get caught into the system. It's bred into you. It's infused in your DNA, not to change. You become inflexible. You begin to follow a path that works against you. A lot of people ate today. Like I asked the man earlier, what did he eat today? Well, he couldn't really quite remember. But if he could remember, which was interesting that he couldn't remember. Well, even if he could remember, I would say, well, what was the feeling you had after you ate breakfast? How did you feel? Most people can't even tell you. Because they gobbled this stuff down, and they jumped on the train, or they jumped in the car, they rushed to work, they got coffee in one hand. They can't tell you how they feel. They don't know how they feel because they don't know themselves. They weren't able to take time to breathe after they ate. And the food was destroying their system. It was like atomic bombs going off in their system. So they couldn't get enough blood flow to the brain to even be able to realize what this stuff tastes like. Because if you notice, food doesn't taste the same anymore. Because it's being denatured. People are being denatured. People are being turned down. This is why people use so many drugs. This is why people have sexual addictions and addictions to all kinds of highly stimulating things. Why? Because the more you begin, your vibration goes down, then you need more stuff to stimulate you, like coffee. You need more and more and more and more coffee. What is a natural coffee? That if you drink it, and you drink it with the right intention, and you didn't drink it all day long, then this particular coffee could feed your system. But the coffee that we drink is the coffee that stimulates those kidneys to pump that adrenaline to get you to jump up and do things that you don't even want to do. You need to be energized, but if you had the true essence of life, you don't need to be energized by an outside source. This is what we're trying to do, is get back to source. But what is the source? Source is the energy that made everything. Source is in all of us. We are the source. When we find this God that we're looking for, it's going to be inside us. But if you are not on the train station, if you're not standing on the platform with your ticket, you need the right ticket. You need to know when the train is coming. This is your train for success. If you're not standing on the platform, realizing and within conscious knowledge of your true self, you will not get on the right train. People get on the wrong train every day. People are dying at a record rate. People have never died this fast ever in history. People have never been this sick. Young people come to me now in their 20s with prostate problems, problems with the ovaries and the uterus, heart disease, high blood pressure. In the 20s, these used to be old people diseases. What's happening? Too much fast food. Too much fast talk. Not enough prayer. Not enough love. You know, too much television. Too much, you know, commercial music. You know, people ask me all the time because, you know, my company helped to bring hip-hop, you know, to California. We made the first gold and platinum hip-hop records, right? Or what was called rap at the time, which is different than hip-hop. But the people say all the time was, you know, well, what happened, man? You know, how come the radio plays nothing but, you know, commercial rap music? You know, where's the true underground music? How come it's not on the radio? Underground music isn't made for the radio. When the underground music hits the radio, now it's commercial. You can't say certain things. You can't have that, you know, the voice of liberation on commercial radio. They're selling chicken sandwiches. You know, they're selling, you know, Murder King and, you know, Taco Hell. I mean, what the heck? You want them to sell your conscious music that awakens people on the radio, which means you want to dance around and be commercial, and, it's, you know, it's for money. No. Underground healing meditation music, you know, conscious music, even like roots reggae. Most of that stuff you don't hear too much on the radio. You don't hear the indigenous music too much on the radio because the radio is controlled by people who control your time. Whoever controls your time controls your mind. You see? Then you begin to eat at a certain time. You begin to drink at a certain time. You take a break at a certain time. You're outside the rhythms of nature. Once you're outside the rhythms of nature, guess what? You don't pick up the light or the information from the Most High or the universe, so you're lost. You're lost in space. I mean, these people were on a planet for years. They were lost. They couldn't get home. They didn't know how they got there. I mean, they were lost. It wasn't like Star Trek, where they knew where they were going. They'd be lost sometime, but they'd get back on the path. And here's my point. Yes. You're going to get off the path sometimes. Sometimes you're not going to eat the best diet. Sometimes you're not going to have the best relationships. Things are going to happen to you, but you got to get back up. You can fall down all day, but get back up. You see, to stumble is to move forward quickly. To stumble is not to fall, but to move forward quickly. If you move forward quickly, then whatever you went through that you called before a problem is just an experience, something that you can use to grow, because that's what this is about, growth. It's about change. And if we sit around and complain about how many things are so bad in our lives, oh, my God, I'll just eat another pork chop, and I'll drink some Kool-Aid along with it, and then afterwards, we'll have some more poison food. We'll have poison conversation. Let's watch a little poison news tonight. What's on? I wonder whether Barack is winning or McCain's winning. What? How could you be winning when they haven't even voted yet? The poll is up your butt. That's what poll is all about. Politics. You see? You're being screwed. We're getting screwed here. Not because of how people are voting. We're getting screwed. I mean, this is just a focus for you. They're giving you this one like they're going to let you choose who's the president. I mean, come on. I mean, people don't have no idea. There's people that don't even know what's happening in their own household. How are you going to make judgment and choose a president to run the United States or the world or make these huge decisions when you can't even run your own household? People can't even control their own mouth. They can't control what they eat. They're sheep. The sheep herd of raisins are staff. You're going to get in the truck.
And the irony here is we're not really even being given the truth about who these people are. That's, you know, that's already been underscored numerous times by researchers and you know, folks in the alternative media. You know, it's more of the same program. In our closing minutes, Doc, and I don't mean to interrupt your flow here because you're hitting home runs on every pitch. To use a baseball analogy,
I like that.
You mentioned addiction, and briefly, I just want to mention that I've had Dr. Charles Norton on the show. He's a whistleblower about the OxyContin scandal. You know, they're putting OxyContin out on the street, on the market. This is being done by the intelligence agencies. to get this highly addictive drug out. And when Dr. Norton, who was running a profitable hospital that was actually curing people, they went in and raided the profits and then set him up for a fall, and he served 5 years in prison. And while he was in prison, it dawned on him that no one had written a model of addiction. And he described the process of addiction, that anyone who was addicted to anything, it wouldn't matter if it was a habit or a food or a substance, whatever, or, you know, an activity that was frowned upon in general by the public, let's say an addiction to pornography or something like that, or something even worse. He came to the realization that what precedes any addiction is an obsessive compulsive disorder. That has to be there. Okay, so what is that? That's somebody continually thinking or acting out a situation. They're repeating they're spinning in a circle. They're revolving. They're repeating the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
And we're conditioned to do that through advertising and the programming and the subliminal messages and the frequency control and all the rules that we have to live life by. What would you say to those people that want to overcome not just addictions, but to change, to move out of this box, this matrix, and liberate themselves? Because ultimately what you're talking about is liberation.
Exactly. What we do is, number one, we get out of our comfort zone. We change some things in our life that we do all the time. We change just a little bit. If we used to take, you know, a certain route to work, start taking a new route. You know, if you used to buy your food from one store, start shopping at some other stores in some other neighborhoods. And you slowly begin to change things. You start cleansing. You know, we've got a 28-day herbal cleanse that gets rid of parasites. And this is what we've been known for ever since 1996. And when folks do this program for 28 days, they're taking these herbs at a certain interval, which sets up a harmonic sound, which we call a harmonic trust between you and God. Once you have a harmonic trust or faith between you and God, then you begin to change, because each day you're putting more and more of these herbal substances in your body. The parasites can't deal with this. They either leave or they die. At the same time in this program, there are herbs that help to rebuild and protect the liver. There's herbs in here that help circulation, herbs that give you 152 minerals. There's herbs in here that help to clear the pathways for the hormones to move through the body correctly. There's herbs in here that help to cleanse the lungs, you know, to open up the vision. There's even a tooth powder that polishes the teeth and kills the parasites that live in the gums. Once you do things like this for 28 days, because 28 days is what it takes to begin to break most habits. Some habits can be broken in 21 days. You know, some can be done in 21 days. But you need a certain rhythm, and using the moon as a rhythm, the 28-day moon cycle, you are in the path of nature and following the path of least resistance. By following the path of least resistance, we use nature to help us change, because nature is never the same. No 24-hour period is the same. You know, no year actually has the same amount of seconds. I mean, they're all different. It's like the flowers and, you know, the snowflake. There's no two snowflakes alike. Everything in nature is different. So we begin to change slowly, cleanse, start balancing the subconscious mind. For those people who are in Los Angeles, they can give us a call at 323-931-1212. That's 323-931-1212. Actually, anywhere in the world, you can call that number. And, you know, we can talk about balancing your subconscious mind. And there's a technique that we use that can be done even over the telephone, over the Internet. We can balance people anywhere on the planet using quantum physics. So we change slowly by moving out of our comfort zone. We stay on the path. We don't move into negativity or disagreeable things unless we are, we lose it for a few minutes, but then get back on the path. Drinking lots of water, now there's some controversies now, what kind of water to drink, But find yourself a good water, because if you're fearful of water, you won't drink any, and that's going to suck the life out of your body. Even if you're drinking some bad water, as long as it's not toxic, you know what I mean, you still can get life from water. And we also have to get out of the fear of believing that so many things can hurt us. Because once you begin to believe that something can hurt you, it can. So we move out of fear, which is false evidence appearing real or false expectations appearing real. You know, so those are the things that I would change. Change the diet. Move to a more plant-based diet. Move to a diet that's going to help you renew your cells at a quicker rate and help you rebuild your organs. Those are the things that I would do. That's just a start, though.
Yes.
So we can come back and talk about more later, you know. You know how we do it, man.
Yes, and we're out of time, and I hate this part of the show when I have to say goodnight. And, I appreciate the time that you've shared with us and all the wonderful information and the consciousness that you brought forth and also your music. I got to get a link or something set up on my site that I can be showcasing your music on my website, too. If we can work that out. I'm getting lots of hits on my site, so should take advantage of that. It's something that I would like to be able to show people. Maybe we can create some snippets, some samples, and a link directly to your website, because they can go to elevationtime.com and purchase the disc. But I want to help you with that, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So you and I will be talking in the very near future about that, and hopefully you're going to join us this coming month of November here.
Yes, I will.
Okay, very good. Well, Doc, thank you so much. Time to say goodnight to our listening audience. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest this evening, Dr. B. Sirius, and... I highly recommend going to his website, elevationtime.com, and you can certainly call and speak to him about your particular issues, and he will consult with you and steer you in the right direction. In the meantime, special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and from yours truly, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.